hedged in by God on every side, says Job. What are the hedges with which God has hedged you in today?
Elizabeth Elliot says, if you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Our feelings are very fluctuating and ephemeral, aren't they? We can't depend on them for 5 minutes at a time. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe, she says, because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of challenge and commitment. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about, did I deserve this? We were talking in our last chat about Job and how Job, according to God's own estimate, was a blameless man. He feared God and he did not charge God with evil. But Satan came along and suggested to God that there were some very obvious reasons why Job was so godly. He knew which side his bread was buttered on, and God had given everything into his hands and made everything he ever touched prosper. Satan's challenge was, just try taking some of those things away and see whether Job's faith really depends on you, God, or primarily on the material goods that you've given to him. And God accepted Satan's challenge and gave him permission. Here is a great mystery, and I certainly will not be able to explain it or solve it for anyone. But we find God actually calling Satan's attention to a particular individual who is a model of faith, and God giving Satan permission to test that man and to deprive him of many things which Satan was convinced were the reason for his faith. And as one thing after another is taken away from him, we find Job still believing that God exists and it is with God that he has to do. He sits on an ash heap, he scrapes his boils, and he has to put up not only with all of that that's already happened, but with the clear, flat platitudes of his theologically orthodox friends who come along and explain to him very plainly and very simply and very patiently, look, Job, it's got to be your fault, because if a man is good, God rewards him. If a man is bad, God punishes him. Isn't that what a lot of people think nowadays, too? Surely if a person suffers, it must be because he did something bad. Until, of course, we suffer ourselves, and then we say, did I deserve this? What have I done to deserve this? Job had said to his wife, shall we not accept evil from God if we accept good? Just 2 days ago, the phone rang, and it was a friend of ours from years back telling us that their little 4-year-old girl, who was born with spina bifida, is doing wonderfully well. She's bright, even though she has hydrocephalus. She has a shunt, and she's now walking with braces on her legs and doing very well. But Kathy was pregnant, and John called to tell us that they had just learned that this child, yet unborn, also suffers from spina bifida. So he said, please pray for us. We're hurting. Did John and Kathy deserve this? I'm sure that that's an irrelevant question. We couldn't ever know the answer to that, even if we thought ourselves that we deserved it. God has things in mind. He's operating in unseen ways that we can never imagine. And His glory is something infinitely beyond the scope of our own intellect. I don't know in what possible way God is glorified through a spina bifida child, except, of course, when that child comes to know Him and may show in wonderful ways his grace that would not be shown if it hadn't been for that handicap. Why John and Kathy are chosen to be the parents of not one but two spina bifida children, only God knows. Think of Corrie ten Boom, that marvelous old lady who traveled round and round the world to speak of God's faithfulness. I can still hear her saying, "Jesus is victor. Jesus is victor." Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch woman who was imprisoned by the Nazis. Her father died in prison, her sister starved to death, and Corrie survived to tell the world that God is faithful. Did she deserve her suffering? I think most of us who know anything about Corrie ten Boom would say most emphatically not. But if we don't know the answer to John and Kathy's questions, or to the question about whether Corrie deserved it, we certainly know the answer about Jesus. Did he deserve the cross? Did he deserve to be captured, beaten, spit on, slapped, imprisoned, stripped, and nailed to a cross? The love that moves the stars in their courses became a man. Became a man in order that he might die. He didn't deserve it, but he accepted it for you and me, for our salvation. He said, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." Let's look at how Job responded to God. Well, in chapter 3, I find some pretty eloquent cursing. He broke silence after listening to his three friends and getting sick and tired of all their reasoning and their platitudes. Finally broke his silence and cursed the day of his birth. And he cursed the day of his birth in a good many very eloquent verses. I won't take time to read them all, but this is the way he starts out. "Perish the day when I was born, and the night which said a man is conceived. May that day turn to darkness. May God above not look for it, nor light of dawn shine on it. May blackness sully it, and murk and gloom. Cloud smother that day. Swift darkness eclipse its sun. Blind darkness swallow up that night. Count it not among the days of the year. Reckon it not in the cycle of the months. That night may it be barren forever. No cry of joy be heard in it. Cursed be it by those whose magic binds even the monster of the deep." Well, I won't read any more, but can you think of any other ways of cursing the day of your birth? He really does it in, doesn't he? And he's just saying that he really wished he'd never been born. He wished he were dead. Wished he'd died before he had ever been born. And in verse 23 of that third chapter, he says, "Why should a man be born to wander blindly, hedged in by God on every side?" And yet God hedges us in with a variety of hedges. "Hedged in by God on every side," says Job. What are the hedges with which God has hedged you in today? Job had to go from prosperity to torture. His friends left him. He lost his possessions. He lost his children. He lost the confidence of his wife. He had to suffer accusations and calumny. He was alone. Talk about loneliness. That man was really alone. In verse 14 of chapter 6, he says, "Devotion is due from his friends to one who despairs and loses faith in the Almighty. But my brothers have been treacherous as a mountain stream, like the channels of streams that run dry." In verse 21, he says, "So treacherous have you now been to me," he's speaking to these so-called friends, "you felt dismay and were afraid. Did I ever say, 'Give me this or that, open your purses to save my life, rescue me from my enemy? Tell me plainly, and I will listen in silence. Show me where I have erred. How harsh are the words of the upright man. What do the arguments of the wise men prove? Do I ever give voice to injustice? Does my sense not warn me? when my words are wild. Here was a man fed up with reasoning and saying, in effect, if you guys would shut up and lay off. In chapter 16, Job says some terrible things about God, some of the worst things that anybody has ever said about God, I suppose, and yet God, the Holy Spirit, chose to preserve these things for our instruction. And here is what Job says. I was at ease, but he set upon me and mauled me, seized me by the neck and worried me. He set me up as his target. His arrows rained upon me from every side. Pitiless, he cut deep into my vitals. He spilt my gall on the ground. I'm reminded of that old movie in which a Jewish man looks up to God and he says, if we're the chosen people, would you mind choosing somebody else for a while? Have you ever had the feeling that you had been set up as God's target? In verse 19, Job says, look, my witness is in heaven. There is one on high ready to answer for me. My appeal will come before God, while my eyes turn again and again to him. Even though he's been shouting at God, complaining and howling at God, in his moment of reason, he says, there is one on high ready to answer for me. And that's true for you and me as well.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.